Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top or Riverland corner in Ben's studios. Thank you for stopping in for another edition of Talk of Champions, always powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing. For all your roofing needs, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297 is the number to text or call. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the name, image, and likeness space, NIL, than Riverland Roofing. So support them, give them your business. We certainly appreciate them. Ole Miss concludes the 2024-25 season with an absolute beatdown of Duke in the Gator Bowl. It was a lot of good, a lot of frustrating because of how good it was. History being made. And now we look forward to a new year of Ole Miss football. Ole Miss basketball is about to open SEC play against Georgia. Baseball is rapidly approaching. If you haven't checked it out, please do so. The Judd Uttermark newest interview, Judd U, for the Talk of Champions Podcast Network with Connor Spencer, a ride-along the two did together about his unique journey and the season ahead for Ole Miss baseball. But today, here on Talk of Champions, all alone, I thought I was going to be with Bradley Sound today. I've been working it out to do a post-game with Brad, but he has other real-life obligations, and it's just hadn't lined up. So here I am today to talk to you about the Gator Bowl, about what comes next, about the belt to ass that Ole Miss took to Duke in the Gator Bowl. And it goes without saying that obviously Duke was undermanned offensively, down its top two quarterbacks. Malik Murphy is now at Oregon State. But Ole Miss looked like the team that we thought they were coming into the year against a quality opponent that had won 9 games for just the 8th time in school history. This was an historic season for Duke, and it ends on quite the not necessarily bad note, but certainly a deflating note considering how dominant Ole Miss was. And I think one thing that stuck out to me as we get started here on Talk of Champions, one thing that certainly stuck out to me first and foremost, Ole Miss was the only one, and it's going to sound homerish, but I think that the numbers back it up. Ole Miss was the only of those college football playoff snubbed teams that not only made their case in the postseason for being snubbed, but also showed that, I mean, I kept getting texts over and over again from friends talking about the frustrating nature of that game, how it played out, because Ole Miss did look like one of the best teams in the country. Yes, Duke was undermanned. Yes, Duke didn't have its full arsenal to go after Ole Miss and to give them the kind of game that maybe they otherwise would have had they not lost their top two quarterbacks, their star running back and Star Thomas. But Ole Miss did to that team what it's supposed to when they are undermanned, when they are the favorite, and absolutely whooped them. Of course, an historic day for Jackson Dart. The NCAA comes out today and says that they're considering 5 years of eligibility for all college players now, regardless. And that maybe makes sense then why Lane Kiffin made the joke about Diego Pavia from Vanderbilt, the quarterback who's gotten like a 7th year recently, bringing back Jackson Dart for another year. He's done. He's going on to the NFL. He had an historic finish, but that was interesting enough. You know, that there's still the roster building component, the uncertainty of the sport, But Ole Miss, as it rounds now into a new year and looks ahead without Jackson Dart, unless he surprises us all and comes back for a fifth year, it's the Austin Simmons show. But I loved that joke from Lane Kiffin and the wry look at the camera. He knew exactly what he was doing. But Ole Miss showed everything in that game that you hope for it to show in its final, and now we look ahead to 2025. But there are a few things that we have to get off the chest first as we start this edition of Talk of Champions. This season for me was one about missed opportunity. And it's not revelatory. That is not profound to say that. You're probably feeling the exact same way. The missed opportunity of a team that was built for a playoff run. You look at the Final Four teams in the college football playoff, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas. These are teams that Ole Miss, Notre Dame, these are teams you believe that Ole Miss on a neutral field could certainly play with, if not beat. Ohio State looks really, really good. Ohio State's the only team that gives me pause as far as how they're playing. Jeremiah Smith, that offense, and Will Howard absolutely blitzing Oregon defensively look good. It's the best, one of the best collections of wide receivers ever. So to see them go out there and put it on Oregon was a surprise. Oregon deserved to not have to play Ohio State first. All four of the top four seeds with the byes were bounced. There has to be college football playoff reform. There has to be. Because once you see the results, how it played out, it is inarguably a better system, in my opinion. Because of the parity, because of the level playing field, now that everybody can pay everybody and not have to be whispering about it or poking fun at the big bad SEC because they're better operationally than everybody else. Now everybody can pay for players, and you're starting to see that parity, or not starting, you're seeing that parity in the college football playoff. But you're also seeing the warts of a first-year system, and where the top four teams that maybe you got to reseed once they get to the playoff, get rid of those first-round byes. The time off is detrimental, I think, to those teams that you're trying to reward, but there has to be a better way. But the one thing I think, rather than get to the minutiae of how the college football playoff could reform itself and get even better, let's just take a moment and appreciate that the college football playoff is exactly what we wanted it to be, filled with parity, filled with teams that otherwise wouldn't have gotten the opportunity. Ole Miss should be one of those teams. They showed that in the Gator Bowl, but the bottom line is it cost itself losing to Kentucky, period. And then had an opportunity, if not losing for Florida, and did, lost to Florida. So Ole Miss has no one to blame but itself. So with that as the setting going into the Gator Bowl, inevitably, regardless of the end result, the final score, there was going to be some frustration with this game. Because at the end of it all, as fun as it was to watch the gang run it back one more time, it was an exhibition game in Jacksonville that took second billing to the more important bowl in the Sugar Bowl, and the tragic nature of it getting pushed back because of the terrorist attack in New Orleans. Ole Miss should have had the bigger stage, should have been on the bigger stage. And it was never more evident than during the Gator Bowl. Everything we liked about this team coming into the year was on full display against Duke. Jackson Dart is a Heisman candidate. His best game, in my opinion, as far as next level throws that we've probably seen all year, if not one of the very best of his career. Rolling to his left, dropping dimes, the throw to Daquan Wright in the corner. Now, at the end of the game, which was absolute cinema for college football fans, I don't want to see the sportsmanship. I don't want to see the whole, just running the clock out. That's boring. It's an exhibition game in Jacksonville. And if you got to the end of that game that almost was dominating and you were still watching, thank you to Lane Kiffin, to Manny Diaz. Now, Manny was probably pretty pissed off. It seemed pretty obvious he didn't like the way Ole Miss handled the end of the game. Jackson Dart audibling to that 69-yard pass and touchdown to Jordan Watkins with a minute left. That wasn't good form, sure. But also, nothing about college football in 2024-25 makes any sense anymore. There is no good form. It's everybody looking out for themselves. And I appreciate then that you gave the Ole Miss fans and the Ole Miss people, the Ole Miss media, all of us that were still watching, something to pay attention to. Austin Simmons not getting to come in because Jackson Dart refused to come out. That's good stuff. Jackson Dart wanted to finish his career. It's not about Austin Simmons yet, but also because of the disappointment and losing three games. That's exactly where a lot of attention was. Where is Austin Simmons? Didn't come in for a minute, and then he threw one pass and looked great. And you look forward to seeing what the future could be. But the Gator Bowl was both equal parts frustrating and uplifting because, one, Ole Miss was exactly what we thought it was. Ulysses Bentley's break and run, scoring two touchdowns. Now, on this show all year, here on Talk of Champions, the Ulysses Bentley thing has been a dang near every show topic of conversation. I brought it up again during the game, and I got to say something right off the top. Lane Kiffin was right. Ulysses Bentley, we said this before on this podcast, but still, Lane Kiffin was right. If what he said to me in our one-on-one sit-down about Ulysses Bentley in his office was correct, that it was purely a football decision, okay. Watching the Gator Bowl, I get it. Ulysses Bentley is a step slower than he used to be. He doesn't have the same explosion that he did. My whole point the whole year was that even a limited or not quite himself Ulysses Bentley is better than the other options that you have. It's not really a Ulysses Bentley conversation. It's a lack of depth of options at running back. Quinshon Judkins is doing well at Ohio State. That's been a year. That was a yearly, now that the season is over. That was a yearly topic of conversation about paying Quinshon. And I was one of the very first ones to say, you do not overpay at a non-premium position. Go fill his spot in the portal. Turns out Quinshon was harder to replace than any of us thought he would be. And a lot of that had to do with the lack of usage for Ulysses Bentley. And Lane told me in the office, it was purely a football decision, that it was all about, you know, he lacked explosion. What you saw against in the Gator Bowl for Ulysses Bentley was exactly why Lane told me Ulysses didn't play, essentially. Now, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. He's going to take, I mean, he's going to support Ulysses. He's going to talk him up and things, but that's essentially what it came down to. That it was not so subtle what he was saying. Like, look at his stats and look at how he's playing and tell me he's the same player is essentially what he was saying. And you could tell in the Gator Bowl, it was the last act of Ulysses Bentley, that, yes, he is a step slower. He doesn't have the same explosion. There is some trepidation, a little bit more hesitancy when he runs. But also, acknowledging all of that, he showed in the Gator Bowl. He's still the best option you got back there. So not playing Ulysses Bentley, refusing to because he was holding his old or past self against him, and not comparing what he is now and making that judgment against the other options available. That is one of the biggest sins for Lane Kiffin, this Ole Miss football team in 2024-25. He showed it again in the Gator Bowl. Again, multiple touchdowns, broke some nice runs. Jackson Dart was the player of the game. Obviously, he was. Jackson Dart went out with an historic boom. But we're breaking down now the year in totality. It's not just about the Gator Bowl. Who was the player of that game? It was, what does it mean against the broader context of what happened this year and what is to come next year? And one thing is very, very clear. Ulysses Bentley, football isn't that complicated. I actually said that to Lane in his office. I was like, look, man, you know what the most profound but also dumbest as far as like hurting yourself, but it was true and he was right. And I'm so thankful that he said it. I said, but it just opened you up for criticism. When Lane came out multiple times this year and told his fans, football isn't that complicated. And I said, Lane, saying that really it's a brilliant thing to say. It's true. I'm thankful for it, but also what that does is, okay, then why isn't the best running back of your bad running backs not playing? So that's what it came down to. It was the best of a bunch of bad options. But Ulysses, even a step slower, is better than everyone else on that roster, and he showed it again in the Gator Bowl, got the dominant lion's share of the snaps, so then why did he not get a single snap against Florida? That at the end of the day, rather than hoping for an explanation that I tried to get, that I went through every avenue to get, sat down with Lane. I'm so thankful for that. At the end of the day, we can just acknowledge it for what it is. It's a personnel decision mistake, period. And it costs them games. Coaches make mistakes. Coaches have trouble. Football isn't that complicated. And not playing your best running back when he was the best running back came back to haunt Ole Miss, because even with that Duke defense was good. If you look at the stats, going one of the better teams in college football in sacks and tackles for loss, a legitimate defense, and Manny Diaz has been a terrific defensive mind for a long, long time in college football. And Ole Miss did whatever it wanted to against Duke. And that defense wasn't undermanned like the offense was. It wasn't missing its top two tacklers. Instead, it was full force, and they gave Ole Miss trouble, especially with the offensive line, again, not being able to adequately protect Jackson Dart. Just turns out Jackson didn't need all that much. Didn't need all that much protection. My man went crazy. All right, so let me look at the stats as provided by Ole Miss Sports Information. Jackson Dart in the Gator Bowl, as we move on from Ulysses Bentley, should have played him. That's the number one observation. Bell to Ash in the Gator Bowl, but the number one thing I'm thinking is, okay, you started him here. He did what we thought he would do. No, he wasn't the same. Why then did you not run him against Florida, Kentucky? Again, the best of bad options. He is not the same player. That was the first observation. The second observation is Jackson Dart is one of the most consequential Ole Miss Rebels to ever play. He didn't get Ole Miss to the playoff, and that is always going to haunt him as far as the GOAT consideration. Matt Corral did something historic in that he won 10, 11 games when Ole Miss fans, Ole Miss people who had seen the worst of it with Matt Luke, even going so far back as 10 losses with Houston Nutt, believing that Ole Miss could be a consistent every year 10-win team. That seemed fanciful. It's not fanciful anymore. Ole Miss with the win over Duke in the Gator Bowl has its third 10-win season in 4 years. Ole Miss has arrived as an every-year contender. But they haven't done the thing that everyone is waiting for them to do, and that is arrive on the national stage. I think that they sent the only statement that any of the college football snubs have sent all postseason. Alabama didn't deserve to be in. Ole Miss, if you look at the resumes, has a better resume than Alabama. It does. Ole Miss still had, going into, as far as postseason resumes, going into selection process, one of, if not the best wins with the win over Georgia, and that was with Carson Beck. Georgia was not the same without Carson Beck. Georgia got dominated by Notre Dame. But if you watched Ole Miss play Notre Dame, I would take the Ole Miss team that we saw essentially operating at full peak in the Gator Bowl. The offensive line is what it is. Notre Dame would have given Ole Miss trouble. Anybody would have because the offensive line wasn't good all year. But everything else was there. Defense was dominant. Yeah, they had some busts. And really interesting to see guys who are already in the portal playing for Ole Miss. Like, Lewis Moore played up until, I think, like the final minute. And I want to say it's just because that's who Ole Miss had available. But also, he's committed like back to Indiana. He transferred Ole Miss from Indiana. He got in the portal in the offseason before the Gator Bowl. He's already signed committed with Indiana, and he's playing for Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. None of this makes sense anymore. And I found it funny that he's playing a minute left in a 56-20 game. You know, I'm like, oh, either Ole Miss doesn't have any more safeties, or it's like, okay, well, we're going to get our last, you know, the very last drop out of our investment in Lewis Moore before he goes back to his old team, which is just not how the conversations used to be in college football. But Ole Miss, if you watched how the defense, as good as they were, Jackson Dart setting records, Ulysses Bentley, not himself, but certainly better than anything else Ole Miss had, Juice Wells utilized in space that we hadn't seen all year. That was a frustrating thing from jump. His 32-yard reception, touchdown reception, whatever it was, letting him cook with yards after catch. That's who he was at South Carolina when he was at his best. And yet this year, because of need, was more of an outside receiver, 50-50 balls, contested catches. That's not who he is. Same thing as Ulysses Bentley is not strictly a kickoff returner. These are personnel decisions that cost Ole Miss. Not to say that they were the direct reason why Ole Miss lost three games, but when you can't run the ball against Florida and you're not playing the one running back that, of all the other bad running backs, that can maybe help you, it's like you're trying not to win the game. Same thing with a guy like Juice Wells, who, yes, was a disappointment in his one and only year at Ole Miss. I would argue it's not just about Juice Wells living or not living up to expectations, but also how he was utilized. You saw more of what we expected to see from Juice in the Gator Bowl, and it wasn't just because of the touchdown. He was in space. The utilization of Juice was different. All things that Ole Miss fans had been calling for all year, because football isn't that complicated, and that's what made it both equal parts bittersweet, great, a great end to such tremendous accomplished players, but also frustrating as this season was. A 9-10 win Ole Miss season, frustrating. That means that Ole Miss has arrived at a place that I never thought I would see them arrive at. And it's great to be in this place. It's great that we can talk about these things in this broader context of, well, why did they only win 9, now 10 games with the dominant win over Duke in the Gator Bowl? And we look at things like not utilizing Juice as a space eater, not utilizing Ulysses Bentley as your lead back, even though he's not the same. But one thing you wanted to see out of this game, positive more than anything else, Jackson Dart getting his due, doing all the things he set out to do, to be that record setter, that all-time GOAT that he now is as he goes off to the NFL, assuming that he doesn't take advantage of the NCAA's latest short-sighted rule and just give everybody 5 years of eligibility. Wants to come back, run it back. Him and Austin Simmons, that would be a heck of a quarterback ribbon battle. I mean, Austin Simmons is ready to play. What would that lead to? And I've got a lot of thoughts about Austin Simmons not playing outside of Jackson Dart saying, no, I'm not coming out. I think there were some NIL considerations involved here. Tampering is everybody. Everybody is doing it. And don't think for a second, just like with the Arkansas wide receiver who had a breakout game against the Liberty Bowl, there aren't some considerations, in my opinion, from coaches like Lane Kiffin. He hadn't said this, but it would make sense to me that, yes, Jackson probably refused, but he's the head coach. If he wanted to pull Jackson, he could pull Jackson. And Austin Simmons didn't play till a minute left. That tells me that, man, just like with the Arkansas wide receiver, blows up in the Liberty Bowl, gets in the portal immediately. You have to protect your roster, and he is the future. He's the investment. And you only need one program like Duke to pay the Tulane transfer quarterback $8 million. You only need one school to completely disrupt what 2025 would be. So protecting your investment, protecting your future by not playing Austin Simmons, I can see that. At least part of the consideration. Maybe not. Maybe not. But like Lane's talked about that as well a lot. How you do spring practice. How you do depth charts, the old ways of doing things have been completely flipped on their ear, because you have to consider where, like, the freedom of movement of players. They could do whatever they want to do. They could leave whenever they want to leave. There is no rule for this. You say, wait, Ben, the first window is closed. Yes, for new portal entrants, for teams whose seasons were already over. But if you're a postseason team like Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl, all of these players, Ole Miss players now, so do Duke players, have a 5-day window. It is reopened for them to get in the portal if they want to. So maybe there was a consideration of, don't let Austin go out there and, you know, sling it too much, because then you might have to contend with an $8 million offer from a quarterback needy team, and that's what everybody is this year. When Walker Jones was here on Talk of Champions, the head of Ole Miss's Grove Collective, its NIL initiative, one of the things we talked about at length was the position that has surprised him as far as the cost. And it probably won't come as a surprise to the regular, you know, college football fan, because you would assume that quarterback would be the premium, highest paid position. But Walker has been surprised by the numbers. And then when you look at, for example, $8 million to the Tulane quarterback from Duke, I do think there were some considerations there. But this started the second number two thing I learned from the Gator Bowl, started with Jackson Dart, and it deserves to stay with Jackson Dart, the player of the game, the player of the season. It's going to be held against him when compared to Chad Kelly, especially in the modern era. Eli Manning, Matt Corral, because of the history of those quarterbacks and what they've done, things that have never been done before. Yes, Jackson did it too, but as far as Ole Miss had never won 10 games before until Eli did it his last year. Matt Corral and leading Ole Miss out of the doldrums of Matt Luke and all those things to a 10-win season, that was unheard of. That was the first 10-win season in 20 years since Eli. And now Jackson is responsible for two of them. Now, he had a better supporting cast than any of those other quarterbacks. Even Chad Kelly throwing to Laquan. Jackson Dart had an absolutely loaded up supporting cast. So to lose three games with it is not his fault directly. Again, we would put the blame, me, Ben, would put the blame for those three losses directly at the feet of Lane Kiffin. It's the best modern-day defense Ole Miss has ever had. It feels wasted. It stinks. I looked at what all they're losing defensively, and it's painful because of what they had. And when I look at the remaining four teams, Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, and Ole Miss's defense against those offense, Drew Aller for Penn State, look, Ole Miss has been there, done that with Penn State. It it eats you up because this defense was the offense was always supposed to be there. The fact that it was the offense, not that the defense didn't get enough turnovers, not that they didn't get enough sacks. They were a sieve in the run game. You didn't have Ryder Anderson. Remember those days with Blessing McGriff covering a defensive end, covering a wide receiver on a wheel route. You had competency and dominance across the board, and they still lost three games. Because that's the thing Ole Miss fans have said forever. If you can just get a defense, the offense will always be there. Well, this year the offense wasn't there, save for, on a consistent basis, Jackson Dart.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297. Or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire. Customer inspired.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dart in the Gator Bowl broke the single season passing and total offense records, both set by Chad Kelly in 2015. Also, before we keep going with Dart here, Caden Davis, you talk about underrated, not even underrated, it's not underrated, but not talked about enough. Not talked about enough impact, transfer impact. Jackson Dart, the most consequential, but Caden Davis, he set the single season scoring record with a field goal in the Gator Bowl, passing Jonathan Nichols, the Lou Groza Award winner in 2003. Jonathan Nichols, the Lou Groza Award winner that somehow missed against LSU two gimme makes. Still don't understand how it happened. And he broke that record. So he deserves, as he leaves now, to go pursue professional opportunities. Caden Davis deserves a lot of credit too. Kickers don't get that shine. Of course they don't. They're kickers. No disrespect, but like, you're kickers. Caden Davis is an all-time great at his position at Ole Miss, surpassing who is and will always be, in my opinion, the greatest Ole Miss kicker. But just like with Jonathan Nichols, the greatest Ole Miss kicker of all time, Lou Groza Award winner, we think about the misses against LSU, we'll think about Jackson not getting Ole Miss to the playoff, but it wasn't because of Jackson. Jackson did everything and more. He passed Dak Prescott for fifth in SEC history in total offense. He passed earlier in the game, Jared Lorenzen, who I miss watching on Jefferson Pilot. Man, I miss Jefferson Pilot. Remember those like early morning, 11 a.m. Kentucky LSU games? I remember it was, who was it? Devery Henderson, maybe? They caught the Hail Mary at the end against Kentucky. But Jared Lorenzen is like my forever mascot for Jefferson Pilot games. I love the simplicity of that. Waking up because Jared Lorenzen was event. You know, you had to watch Jared Lorenzen go again. You don't really do that for Brock Vandergriff, who's now retired, which again makes the Kentucky loss that much more painful. He retired. No, I can't play pro, but I can beat Ole Miss. Okay, sorry. Jordan Watkins passed 12. I mean, on the long pass to Jordan Watkins, Jackson Dart passed 12,000 yards of total offense for his Ole Miss career. He jumped past Will Rogers from Mississippi State for fourth in SEC history. One of four in SEC history with 12,000 total yards. The others, Aaron Murray, Drew Locke, and Tim Tebow, who Ole Miss made cry in 2008 on the way to a national championship. The most points scored did Ole Miss have, 56, in a bowl game. The previous record was 48 against Oklahoma State in the dominant 2016 Sugar Bowl, which was a culmination of sorts. Ole Miss had always just wanted to go back to the Sugar Bowl, the Ole Miss Bowl of Bowls, and finally got back there in 2016, but it was an exhibition that they whipped Oklahoma State. This game is like that. These are all great things. It puts him, solidifies Jackson in the top four of the modern era, if not all time, but just like the Sugar Bowl, yes, it was a great Ole Miss story because Ole Miss fans getting to go back to the Ole Miss Bowl of Bowls for the first time since the 70s, that's a great Ole Miss story. We're waiting for Ole Miss to be the national story, and this year was about that missed opportunity. Jackson Dart also broke his own Ole Miss Bowl records in passing yards and total offense. Previous mark was 379 in the Peach Bowl last year. Prior total offense record was 427 in the 2022 Texas Bowl. I don't miss the Texas Bowl. Like, I won't miss the Gator Bowl. But we got to see all the things we wanted to see in this Gator Bowl that meant nothing. Number one, Jackson Dart got his send-off as he deserved. The deserved send-off for one of the greatest of all time. But where does he end up now? Chad Kelly and Eli Manning, as far as modern era quarterbacks, probably, I mean, you could have a case for one or the other as one, but the other one is then two. So really, for Jackson, despite how far he's climbed, the numbers, it's a different era of football. You'd say, well, he broke all these records. It's a different era of football. If Eli Manning was not running a pro-style offense against when he was going 7-1 in the SEC back in 2003, who's to say he wouldn't have thrown for 5,000 yards? He was the greatest quarterback I'd ever seen. A better pocket quarterback than even Jackson Dart. But you give Jackson his credit and his well-deserved plaudits. He is in the top four of modern era, no doubt. Bunky Perkins, my guy on Twitter, he nailed it. He had Chad Kelly, Eli Manning, Matt Corral, and Jackson Dart. That seems about right. Now, as far as the all-time, is he top five? I think he has to be. But that's a more difficult conversation, right? That's a more nuanced conversation. The fact is, from the Gator Bowl and what we learned, Jackson Dart got the deserved send-off that we all hope to see him get. It was a celebration of Jackson Dart was the Gator Bowl. And you know what? If that's what this needed to be, if that's all this needed to be, the proper send-off, one of the greatest of all time, who deserved a chance to go play for a national championship, consider his journey. Consider that Lane and them tried to get rid of him, bringing in Spencer Sanders and Walker Howard his second year because his first year was up and down as the Luke Altmyer competition. Luke's now doing things at Illinois, beating South Carolina in a bowl game. He beat Luke Altmyer, who turned out to be a competent, capable quarterback, albeit at a lower level. Spencer Sanders had been accomplished over 6,000 yards at Oklahoma State. Walker Howard was the top 50 prospect. He was still hot. He didn't have to go to ULL, go back home just to get a starting opportunity like he did this year when he transferred. When he left LSU, he was still considered the future, if not the present, potentially for Ole Miss because of what he was. Coming out of high school, Ole Miss wanted him so bad, and Jackson had all that working against him. Spencer, yeah, he could easily replace him. Walker Howard, he's the guy we handpicked. We didn't really handpick Jackson Dart. Look back at Jackson's recruitment in the transfer portal. He fell in Ole Miss's lap. Thank God he did. And he became one of the greatest of all time for Ole Miss at the position. But he wasn't their first choice. He wasn't even their first choice once Caleb Williams got into the portal at Oklahoma. Ole Miss tried to get Caleb Williams. Had him on the phone. Talked to him. Now, it was a pie in the sky, you know, Hail Mary shot. But even before Caleb Williams and taking that lottery ticket chance, they were after Dylan Gabriel. They were after Cam Ward. Jackson Dart came to Ole Miss and he stayed and he broke records and he deserved the send-off that he got. But where he ends up in the GOAT conversation is hard because the numbers are inflated in 2024. Offense is encouraged in 2024-25. The defense has everything working against it, which makes it that much more frustrating that Ole Miss had a defense that stopped teams and still didn't make the playoff. I'll never get over that. But that was the second thing. One, if Bentley's usage, finally we can just say it. Hey, Lane, own up to it. Personnel mistake decision. It happens. It's the lack of real information. If it's not something off the field, he doesn't want to throw him under the bus, fine. But that was number one. Ulysses Bentley, you started him in the Gator Bowl. You just gave all the ammunition you needed to the skeptics of why your reasoning behind not playing him. And then the second thing is Jackson Dart got the well-deserved send-off. But then the third thing, and this is really because I mentioned Jackson Dart breaking Chad Kelly's record. It wasn't just Bentley's usage. It wasn't just Juice's usage. It was Priestcorn. Like the first drive, it was a Bentley Priestcorn Juice display, and it's a quick and easy touchdown. All the things, where's Caden Priestcorn? He broke out in the Peach Bowl, and then he disappears. Why is Juice not being used in space? It's what made this team equal parts salivating in what it could be and disappointed in what it was because we saw it on display in the Gator Bowl. We saw Juice and Priestcorn and Bentley. We saw Isaiah Hamilton, one of the many transfer additions on defense, pick six in it, taking one back, making another play for the defense. That defensive line with Walter Nolan, who is in 1 year proven to be one of the very best, most talented players Ole Miss has ever rostered. I would argue Laramie Tunsil is number one and Walter Nolan, just talent, is number two. Walter Nolan was an absolute monster. There was never a doubt to me, but I didn't really care to say it. I said it, but I didn't. You know, people are going to call you a homer regardless, but I don't think there was ever a doubt which of the SEC teams were the best of the three lost SEC teams. Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. South Carolina, you didn't have a case. Ole Miss whooped your butt at home. I don't care. You had Lenore Sellers that game. Oh, he was hurt. Okay, well, I can go through the number of injury situations Ole Miss dealt with. Trey Harris didn't play in the Gator Bowl. He was on his way to becoming an all-time greatest for us statistically, not just in, you know, being biased. He was on his way statistically to becoming one of the very best in Ole Miss history, but could never stay on the field. Durability will be his biggest concern as he goes to the NFL. Didn't play in the Gator Bowl. Injuries happen. Bottom line is you got raced by 24 at your place by this Ole Miss team. You didn't have a case. Alabama proved time and again the only reason why they were getting the consideration they were, if it was Ole Miss, everyone would have laughed at the resume. It was Ole Miss script on the helmet and not the number, not the maroon or crimson, excuse me, number, white number on the side of the helmet. There's no doubt that no one would have considered Alabama a playoff team. If you had switched them, just their resumes, Ole Miss would have been in if they were Alabama, but they weren't. They finished off the right way, but the final thing I really learned in the Gator Bowl was, yeah, it is really as simple as, oh, Ole Miss just shit the bed in a couple spots. Ole Miss was its own worst enemy this year. Ole Miss didn't make the playoff, not because someone left them out because they got screwed, not because Jackson Dart had a regression year, not because the defense, all the transfers weren't as good once put together as Ole Miss thought. No. They had all of these things. They just fell short. And it's okay to acknowledge that. And it's okay to celebrate 10 wins, the third 10-win season in 4 years, but also acknowledge that the explanation for why Ole Miss isn't competing as one of these final four teams, who I think they're better than every single one left, is because of head-scratching personnel mistakes, not admitted to yet, but it's kind of obvious. He should have played Ulysses Bentley. Juice wasn't used right. Caden Priestcorn, they forgot about. Daquan Wright's going to be so huge for Ole Miss next year. Next level tight end. Probably going to be Austin Simmons' best friend. But the defense is going to take a step back. I mean, they're losing too much. I watched William Eccles, who got in there. I watched Cam Franklin. They're going to be great, but they're going to be sophomores. There's going to be more of a learning curve compared to Princely Umon Mielen, Walter Nolan. These guys were dominant from snap one. At linebacker, T.J. Dottery is an all-league caliber player. Kyrie Coleman had an up-and-down game as a replacement for Chris Poupon, who's already preparing for the draft. But I think Ole Miss loves what it's done in the portal, specifically at linebacker, with the Marshall linebacker, with the Grambling linebacker. And I don't think they're done adding on defense, specifically in the back end. T.J. Banks, number 19, they love him. We've been talking about cornerbacks, right? Got to go get more cornerbacks. Well, Jalen Braxton's coming in from Arkansas. T.J. Banks has got something. They like him a lot. You don't always have to go and replace starters with starters from other Power 5 or college football teams. You can do it from your own roster. That's how it used to be done. So-and-so leaves. Well, now it's time for so-and-so to step up and be that guy. T.J. Banks could be one of those guys. In the back end, Nick Cole could be one of those guys. But they're not going to stop adding. The point is, it was all there. And stubbornness, hubris, or just flat-out bad call by me, Lane, with not playing Ulysses or not. Whatever it is, this team was equal parts awesome and will be celebrated forever, but every bit is frustrating because football isn't that complicated. In 2025, to close this thing out, really, because there was so much to take away from the Gator Bowl for me, but really it was a full-on celebration of individual greatness, Jackson Dart. That was the main takeaway. But also, when you look ahead to 2025, we have to, from this point, because with this year, the last dance, the expectations, everybody talking about title, to lose three games, even with 10 wins, which is historic, there has to be a tempered expectation for next year. It's a free shot year, as my dude Cade Smith said on Twitter. I like this. It's a free shot year in that the expectations you had this year, I disagree with this, there are real expectations. Ole Miss has to have expectation, has to believe. Alabama isn't going in next year saying, well, we're losing Jalen Moreau. Justice Hayes got in the portal. We lost this. They're not thinking, well, you know, it's a free shot. No expectations next year. You know, let's just go win as many as we can. And if we get in, heck yeah, way to go, Alabama. But if we don't, it's all right. We'll love a Gator Bowl next year. No, they expect to get in the college football playoff. Contend for the college football playoff. Next man up. Same thing with Ole Miss. The mindset has to be completely different. I do agree that it's a free shot year because that's how we're used to considering Ole Miss. 2025, there aren't going to be the same expectations as there were this year. There can't be. However, the every year expectation from this point forward, if you win 10 games, three out of the last 4 years, the every year expectation, regardless of what you're losing, is, all right, how are you going to get back next year? Because you have the talent. You have the quarterback. You have your Tua 2.0. He didn't play for my really not just because of Jackson wanting to get his finish, but also, and it was also about Jackson and not about the future. So, understanding all that, you have your quarterback. I think it was NIL considerations why I didn't get into the game, among other things. If he's 2.0, why wouldn't you expect Ole Miss to be back in the playoff? Ole Miss is not going for another exhibition game in Jacksonville next year. That is not the expectation. Yes, it's going to be different as far as what we think they can be. I don't think they're going to be as good as this team was. But they have the upside. Of course they do. Austin Simmons, I think, is a better next level prospect than Jackson ever was. Jackson had his best game as far as throwing, the dimes he was throwing in the Gator Bowl. I have no doubt in this quarterback class, Jackson Dart is every bit as good as Shedeur Sanders. Doesn't have the same type of athleticism, but every bit the quarterback is Cam Ward, every bit the quarterback as pick your guy, whoever you think is the top guy in this year's draft. I think Jackson Dart is every bit the prospect. I just don't think it's a good quarterback draft class. There isn't an obvious guy. Austin Simmons, in my opinion, has QB1-1 potential in a draft. I don't say that because I consider myself a football expert or smart football person. I am not. I say that because that's what all the people I talk to that actually have to make their money and make their hay both on the field and off by making these decisions have said he has that kind of potential. So if he is that guy, No, the expectations won't be the same next year, but yeah, you absolutely expect that type of transformative potential player to lead Ole Miss to the playoff. Kane Lee looks like he has playoff caliber potential. Daquan Wright, the offensive line is going to return. Now, for better or worse, they're adding to it as well. But Diego Pounds, having those guys back, Jaden Williams, who I expected to see at right tackle, wasn't because he had a knee procedure to clean him up for next year to block as the right tackle, potentially the blind side of a left-handed throwing Austin Simmons. I love team building. I love following it. I love doing it all last year for that team that was built through the portal. And yes, next year is more in the reset of a year, but the expectations have changed if you're an Ole Miss person. No longer do you think about, well, it's time to rebuild. No, it's retooling. I appreciate the play for upside because you don't have as many sure things on your roster at all your starting spots as you did this year. Deshaun Womack and Prince Will are more upside than Princely was proven production, right? Austin Simmons is more upside what he could be than proven production. But what if the upside is exactly what you expected it to be, Lane, and Austin is to a 2.0? Deshaun Womack did he just didn't get unlocked at LSU. You unlock him. Pete Golding has done it. We saw him do it with Jared Ivey. We saw him do it with any number of players, J.J. Pegues. Maybe Deshaun Womack has that kind because Pete is better than his contemporaries, and I would argue that is a fair assumption to make because Pete has proven all his doubters and haters wrong. He's one of the very best defensive coordinators in football. I have no doubt that Ole Miss will be a competitive defense with the talent returning and the talent they've added through the portal, but there is more of there's probably going to be a higher miss rate because you're not banking on proven production. But who's to say TJ Banks isn't better than John Saunders? You know, like that could happen. You have all the pieces in place. You have the infrastructure in place. You have the collective. You have the coaching staff. So yes, it's a free shot year. But Ole Miss is a playoff team. The expectation, Ole Miss competes for the playoffs every year, considering the commitment made across the board. And that's where I kind of ended it, you know, in my brain as I'm watching the Gator Bowl fall. It's like, it's frustrating because this looked like the team we expected to see all year, including the running component. I'm thankful that Jackson Dart, or I'm really pumped for Jackson Dart, that he got his send-off. But I don't care about all these guys that are leaving. I do care. You're going to miss them. That's not what I mean. No excuses. 10 in 3 years. Now, they're all different. 10 wins in 3 years. And 10-win teams compete for the playoffs. They get in the playoffs. And it is not a free shot to me. Next year, it's going to be tougher because you don't have all the margin for error you thought you had with all these proven guys this year. It is more of, man, we just got to hope a lot of things fall right. But they could. And if they do, all the criticism that you got for 3 losses this year, taking that team next year to the playoff, same energy. Celebrated for, you were right in believing that Austin Simmons was the next Tua. You were right to believe in the upside plays of Prince Will and Deshaun Womack and all these other guys. Kewon Lacy, who didn't do a lot at Missouri, but you loved him as a recruit and you needed a running back. Shekhi Mills Knight. This team is going to be fun to see come together. The talent is enough to where in a college football year where or college football environment where it's completely even, parity reigns supreme. We're seeing it. Like there's no Alabama, there's no Georgia. The Final Four, Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. And yes, you're used to hearing Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, but not in the old format. The old format, Georgia would have destroyed Notre Dame because Georgia had all the good players. Now everybody has good or good enough players to where you can get beat by anybody on any given day. If Austin Simmons is a QB1, one type of guy, even though you didn't get to see a lot of him in the Gator Bowl, then Ole Miss is absolutely contending for the playoff next year. They believe that. You don't bring just Zon Stribling in from Oklahoma State to be a lead receiver to go to the Gator Bowl again. So if you take that team, that the expectations will be different, as Kay noted, it's true. It will be different. They will be not as fever-pitched as they were this year. And then you go and do what you didn't do this year. All the criticism that you got will be equal, if not more so, in praise. And you have the ability to do it next year. You showed it in the Gator Bowl with what you had, what you have, and where Ole Miss is. Ole Miss showed what it is now. And yes, the names will change. But all the reasons why you were frustrated were valid. They lost three games because of bad personnel decision making. They showed you in the Gator Bowl who they are. Duke was undermanned. I'm not denying that. But Ole Miss hung 56 on a good defense. Jackson Dart obliterated them. They're the only one of the playoff snub teams that showed that they had a real reason to say, hey, we shouldn't have been left out. They shouldn't have been left out anyway based off of resume, but that's another discussion for another day. That's about college football playoff reform, and who knows if that comes, if ever. Probably be expanded before they reform this. For the first run at this thing, I think the college football playoff has been a smash hit, even with the results being what they are. And Ole Miss has no one to blame but itself for not getting in the playoff and showed again in the Gator Bowl why Ole Miss fans were so frustrated all year in an unbelievable year historically for Ole Miss. I remember the days when 10 wins were a pipe dream. Now 10 wins are an expectation. Praise God for it. But you can't swim in the waters of praise constantly, swim in those waters and never expect to be popped every once in a while with criticism, legitimate criticism. Everyone could have done a little bit better this year and not lost three games, specifically to Kentucky and Brock Vandegrift. But I'm glad to see them get the send-off they did. And now 2025, yes, the expectations will be more muted. I still expect Ole Miss to contend. I still expect Ole Miss to contend because that is what has changed about Ole Miss football. No longer is it about, well, maybe next year. No. It's every year. As SEC Mike made note of, when Ole Miss plays to the level it did in the Gator Bowl, it can beat anybody in the country. That's why it was frustrating. It's a shame. It really is that Ole Miss wasn't, that Ole Miss was left out. It's a shame that Ole Miss lost three games. And Lane said afterwards, he said, the team wanted to send a statement to a lot of people. They felt left out of something and disrespected. I understand that, and I would agree, but also you have no one to blame but yourself. Ole Miss won the why not us debate. That's little consolation. but it was, for what it was, an exhibition game played at the very start of a new year. A proper send-off, considering the totality of the season. Ole Miss was a top four team all season. I said that after Wake Forest. That's what made it so frustrating, how Lane handled some things. Ole Miss only hurt itself. It was its own worst enemy. The schedule was a perfect setup. I think in a matchup of Ohio State and Ole Miss right now would be electric. Ole Miss has got the defense that can slow that offense down, make it really difficult for them. So it's a weird place to be as we reset and now look ahead to what's to come, the Austin Simmons era. Because the Gator Bowl, it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And that's the hardest part of it. But thank you for jumping into Talk of Champions with me, riding solo, no Bradley Sal today. I'm going to start recording the show pretty much every day. I think like every day starting next week. What do you want on this show for me? You want more questions answered? You want live streams? Setting that up too. I'm going to do watch-along stuff. If Ole Miss makes the NCAA tournament, I will launch a watch-along. Y'all could ask me questions in a live stream. We'll watch games together. I'll bring my camera. We got a lot of baseball coming. I hate that football is over. Football, it's what spins this crazy world we live in of sports fandom. But Ole Miss is doing amazing things across the board. Proactive in their NIL and all those things. They will be back. Ole Miss will be back, maybe as early as next year. But even when it's not in season, remember, Ole Miss is operating in a place both in across the board, basketball, women's basketball, baseball, operating a place that is unprecedented in modern times. To have the kind of, for the most part, baseball's been a disaster, but to have the kind of success it's had, I am not one of those that dismisses it. I remember the days of, well, football won 6 games, went to a bowl, but Ole Miss didn't even make the NIT. Baseball fell short again in a super regional. Hell, I just welcome a super regional back in this point. I appreciate the season for what it was. Now I'm ready to see what a completely uninhibited Lane Kiffin with a team that's not going to have those kind of expectations, how he treats it and how they perform. I think they have the potential to be better as far as winning losses than this team. This team is better across the board. Should have been. They were a top four team all year. Should have been in the college football playoff. It's their own fault that they're not. That they're not one of the final four teams standing. It is only their fault. Only them to blame. No one else. The committee didn't screw them. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Then could have just beaten Florida and still gotten in and lost to Florida. It is Ole Miss's fault. Now can you take your hand-picked quarterback and a team full of lottery tickets? This was a team full of mercenaries. This is a team full of lottery tickets. Will those lottery tickets hit and Ole Miss have the dream run that this team was supposed to have? Sounds like a good plan to me. Sounds like a fun 2025 to me. Thank you for joining me on Talk of Champions here in the Riverland Roofing corner of Ben Garrett Studios. At Spirit Ben on Twitter is my Twitter handle, or X handle. Join me at the Ole Miss Spirit. Me, Zach Berry, Billy Embodied, Chuck Ronzeville, Jake Thompson. The Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and Affiliate of On 3. We cover this stuff all day, every day. omspirit.com. You can sign up today for as low as $1. And we talk about Ole Miss all the time. Get on this show with me. What do you want from this show? Ask me questions on the board. Give me ideas. Whatever you want to see. More guest interviews. More Twitch stuff. Because I've been playing college football for the first time all year. And I'm in my fourth and final year in college. And I am playing at Ole Miss. I didn't start there. Quite a journey. But my brother, my twin brother, Steven, I said, I've got to figure out what I want to do. Do I want to export my player from Madden to from college football to Madden? Or do I want to go win one for the Rebels? Because I lost in a thriller to Georgia in the college football national championship my junior year. And I said, you know what? Steven goes, you know what? Go win one for us and the Rebels. But I'm not going to lie to you. Ole Miss in 2028, slim pickings. It's me and a bunch of white wide receivers and tight ends wearing 80 numbers. But if I take us to the championship, I mean, it'd be fun as hell. It'd also be really fun for content. So you want to join me with it? Come part of, be part of a watch party. I will do whatever y'all want to do, man, because this is the community that has been so good to me. They gave me the best year of my life in 2024. Helped give me the best year of my life, along with my perfect wife, Emily, my daughters, Gracie and Riley. I'm so thankful to On3, man, for what they've done for us. But I'm so thankful for the Ole Miss community. How y'all have allowed me to be a part of your daily life for almost 20 years now. It's a blessing, and I can't wait to go through this next one with y'all again. Hit me up on Twitter. Join my website. Come talk to me. Man, we're going to keep rolling, buddy. As long as I'm breathing, somebody will be talking about the Rebels all day, every day. Your friendly neighborhood Ginger Shrek. I'll see you next week, Riverland Roofing. Riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs. 662-644-4297. Billy Landis and company over at Riverland Roofing. The best people. Rebels helping Rebels. Let's keep supporting them, supporting me and the Ole Miss Spirit. I'll keep supporting y'all with whatever content you want. You just let me know. Thank you for joining me today, and I'll see you next week. Be good to each other. God bless. God is good.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.